You have a suitcase. It was nice knowing you. But we are about to step into the house of God and His Word. Father, we pray over these offerings. You've been good to us. And we thank You that Your people have risen up and the faithfulness, even in the summertime. God, it is so good to give. And we pray Your blessings over these offerings in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's been a lot of talk about identity lately, but how far does it go? And is it possible to be wrong? We went to the University of Washington to find out.
Are you aware of the debate happening in Washington State around the ability to access bathrooms, locker rooms, spas based on gender identity and gender expression?
I think people should be able to have access to the facility.
I think bathrooms could and potentially should be gender neutral because there doesn't need to be a classification for differences.
I think people definitely should have the ability to go into whichever locker room they want.
I feel like at least public universities should do their best to accommodate for those who do not have a specific gender identity.
You know, whether you identify as male or female and whether your sex at birth is matching to that, you should be able to utilize the resources.
So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I'd say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions. Just because on the outside, I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean, it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out my way and tell you, no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
So if I wanted to enroll in a first grade class, do you think I should be allowed to?
Probably not, I guess. I mean, unless you haven't completed first grade up to this point and for some reason need to do that now.
If that's where you feel like mentally you should be, then I feel like there are communities that would accept you for that.
I would say so long as you're not hindering society and you're not causing harm to other people, I feel like that should be an okay thing.
If I told you I'm 6 feet, 5 inches, what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6'5".
If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
No, I mean, I wouldn't just go like, oh, you're wrong. Like, that's wrong to believe in it. Because, I mean, again, it doesn't really bother me what you want to think about your height or anything.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
You. Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
If you thoroughly debated me or explained why you felt that you were 6'5", I feel like I would be very open to saying that you were 6'5", or Chinese, or a woman.
It shouldn't be hard to tell a 5'9 white guy that he's not a 6'5" Chinese woman. But clearly it is. Why? What does that say about our culture? And what does that say about our ability to answer the questions that actually are difficult?
Okay, I'm going to say it. The emperor has no clothes. How's that? Everybody's afraid. You remember the story? Everybody's afraid this guy, you know, this tailor makes up this very unique outfit for the emperor. And yet it's nothing. But he's like, oh, that's just the most beautiful outfit. And nobody wants to look silly by saying, I can't see the beautiful outfit. So rather than say the emperor's naked and he has no clothes, he goes out in a parade. And while he's out in the parade, a little 7-year-old kid goes, he's naked. To which then everybody gasps and the emperor is finally embarrassed. We live in a society where no one wants to say, well, you're not 6'5". I don't want to draw any lines in the sand or have any measurements or boundaries. And who are we to tell anyone that whatever they believe is wrong? So I'm a Chinese 6'5" woman. No, I'm not. Welcome to our culture. What a mess it has become. Amen? So what do we do? Well, we need to protect this house. Because either we are going to stand or we're going to burn. Okay? We're going to feel the burn is what's going to happen. Every movie, I want to entitle this, this introduction, Watch Us Fall. Every horror movie has that pinnacle moment. You know what I'm talking about? Where people are running from the bad guy, the killer, the guy with the mask and the knife, or the ghost, or the goblin, or the zombie. And what do? They take off running, and they always fall down. I mean, that's the moment in the movie. And then, for some reason, they forget how to stand back up, right? They stay there, and then they start kind of crawling and doing this, like, oh, no, get up and run. And they can't run. And I'm convinced that in our society, Satan is that bad guy, and the church is running and falling down all over the place. So what do? We need to take our stand. It's time. I heard a story about some soldiers during World War II. And our American soldiers were sitting in this valley, and on the other side of the hill were the Germans, and the Germans were about to attack. And the sergeant told all the privates and said, hey, listen, everybody get your shovels, dig in. And so they got their shovels, and they started digging. Well, the ground was very rocky, and as they're digging, they're thinking to themselves, there's no way. Finally, one soldier looked at his sergeant and said, Sarge, why don't we attack them and make them dig the holes? Now process that. Why don't we attack them and let them do all the work? You know, so many times as a Christian, we tend to dig in and we're just kind of waiting for the attack. And the Bible says you don't have to do that. You can be offensive. You can move forward. You don't have to sit in a hole, Christians. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Right? I mean, as Christians, you see Christians always on the defensive, always crawling into a hole. And I'm saying, listen, as your shepherd, how about we go ahead and we go over the hill and we attack the enemy? Amen? Because that's what Jesus said. He said, the gates of hell, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Now, when Jesus said that to the Apostle Peter, the translation is this: I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of hell will not withstand your attack. That is the literal translation. So God never intended us to sit back and wait for it to happen. He calls us to go forward, and you will always have the smell of fire in your nostrils, Christians. There's never a moment you will not have the smell in your nose. We should live our lives in such a way that something's always burning, and if it's not, we're always going to something that's burning, and we're emptying hell itself out because we have attacked the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light. Amen? Are you with me? We've got it set up. We've got the introduction. Now let's take a look at this. I want to rewrite Daniel chapter 3. Here's how I would have rewritten Daniel chapter 3. We can bring that up in verse 1, this story of Nebuchadnezzar. Let me read it, and I'll let those on the computers try to stay up as best as possible. If I were to rewrite this in today's language, here's what I think it would say. Then the president made a law without the Congress, and he set it up. He made a giant statue, a giant law, and he set it up in the entire plains. Verse 2. He summoned all of Hollywood, He summoned all of the governors. He summoned all of the leaders of the country, and he got them all together in the Supreme Court, and he dedicated his new law that he had made without rule. Verse 3. Let's keep going to verse 3. So all the governors, all the officials, all the Supreme Court, they all got together and assembled for the dedication of the new law. Let's keep going. Let's just walk right through this. And they all stood there. Then the music played. Then the television and the radio played. And you heard this. They were commanded, as soon as you hear the television, as soon as you hear the radio, as soon as you hear Beyonce, as soon as you hear Kanye West, as soon as you hear the television, as soon as you hear all the Hollywood elite tell you, this is what is popular, we want you just to give in to it and bow down. And if you don't, we're going to come after you. That's how I would translate it. That sounds fair? It sounds like what's going on in our world today. If you don't give in to what the world says, our colleges and universities, you just saw an interview walking on a college, a campus of learning, of young minds who are supposed to challenge ideas, they're scared to death to say, you're not 6 foot five. Who am I to say that you're not 6 foot five? Well, grab a tape measure and hold it up. Well, who are we to say that tape measure's right? We're not supposed to have rules. Yes, we are. It's called a ruler. You're not Chinese. Well, who am I to say you're not Chinese? You're not. You're white. Who's to say you're not a man? I am, or to say you're not a woman. I am 7 years old. Who am I to say you can't go to a kindergarten class? I am. And if I find you in my kid's class, I'm going to have something to say about it. The emperor has no clothes, and I'm going to say he's naked. And I don't care what the Congress says. I don't care what the government says. We as Christians have a rule of law. This is my rant. Are you ready for my rant? If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. Here it is. If you fall for everything, you don't stand for anything. How's that? Are we good? We live in a society that doesn't want to stand for anything. Well, you know what? It's time that we stand. The word stand is used 4 times in Ephesians chapter 6. In the spiritual warfare, the Bible says, finally, Christians, and then it says, take your stand. Stand and put on the full armor of God. So I brought my buddy along again today. He's dressed a little bit different. He's got his Superman stuff on. His Under Armour, Superman. Protect this house. What's he wearing? Help me, church. What is this? What is it? A pair of cleats. Good job. Thank you for helping me. That's Greek, paracletes. Paracletes, why do we wear a paracletes? So that we can dig in and take our stand. Well, the word paraclete is also the translation for the Holy Spirit. It is the Greek word paraclete. That works out pretty good, doesn't it? That's one of those moments, right? You're writing that down right now. You're going, that's good. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to go Facebook that. Go share it. Because all I know is if I'm playing football and somebody's coming at me, I want to get my paracletes on and I want to dig in and I'm going to take my stand. You are not taking the 50-yard line. This is my territory. And the Holy Spirit says, dig in. Get your paracletes on and dig in. That's what God's saying. And after you've done everything to stand in your own humanness, stand in the Spirit. That's what God is saying. Are you with me? We're just going to get into it. Here's how you stand. You're either going to stand or you're going to burn. And can I tell you something? I want to burn now so I don't burn later. I'm going to burn now. I'm going to get on fire for Christ so that I don't get on fire without Christ. So here we go. Let's walk through this. The first thing is I want to burn with passion. In verses 5 and 6, we have this story. And I did. I have 2 verses today. This is supposed to be Daniel. Go ahead and just take that down. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says that it says that you're supposed to stand. It says that when you hear the music and all this stuff happens, you need to go ahead and bow down to this 90-foot image. Now, I can't relate to a 90-foot statue of gold, but I can relate to this, that in this world, there are people bowing down. There are Christians bowing down left and right to the things of this world. They're giving in. I hear it all the time. And can I tell you something? I'm not going to bow down, because if I bow down to that, I'm going to burn later. So that means I'm going to burn today. Somebody's going to burn me and say, Pastor, I don't know who you think you are. I don't know what you believe, but you're homophobic. Pastor, I don't know who you are or what you believe, but what you believe is hateful. I don't know, Pastor, what you think you're going to preach from that pulpit, but when you say marriage is between a man and a woman, we don't even want to use the words man anymore, because now you're defining a gender. And that is happening right now. Canada is passing a law, or considering passing a law, it's before them in Parliament, to even use the word man and woman. That is hateful. It's defining someone. And I'm just going to say as clear as I can, I am not going to bow down to that, okay? God made them male and female. Where do you come up with that? I came up with that with a ruler. It's called the Word of God. So I'm going to burn. Here it is. I want to burn with passion. I want to burn with purpose. And I want to burn with His presence. So I'm going to burn with passion. I'm a passionate person. Those of you that know me, if you've seen me on the golf course or the ball field, you've seen me preaching, you've seen me with youth in a camp or something, I'm a passionate person. I have a very, very high level of passion. I get into anything I put myself in, I'm into it. If I'm into golf, I'm swinging as hard as I can. If I'm into softball, I'm running as fast as I can. If I'm preaching, I'm preaching with all my heart. When I get done on a Sunday, I go home, I am spent, okay? All that's within me. I'm a passionate person. I think being passionate is important for you as a Christian. What does that mean? Last week we talked about being strong in the Lord. This week I want to talk to you about standing with passion. What does that mean? Watch this. If you have passion, passion is the fuel to your purpose. Let me say that again. If you have passion, passion is the fuel to your purpose. What do I mean by that? It means you're going to turn or you're going to burn. You're going to get sanctified or you're going to get French fried. You're either going to meet the maker or you're going to meet the baker, okay? Passion is going to get you on fire now so that you're not on fire later. You're either going to burn for God now or you're going to burn for God later. You're going to have a purpose, and how can I have my purpose and stand in my purpose if I'm not passionate about it? Someone will come along and say, I don't think you should believe it. Oh, you're right. You ever meet people like that? You believe this now. Well, tomorrow you believe this. Why? Because someone challenged me. My passion says this: I will never change my beliefs in Jesus Christ. I will never compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hear people all the time saying, well, you just need to be true to yourself. You just need to be honest and be who you are. Garbage. If I come to Christ, who I are is not who I want to be. I came to Christ because who I are is not right in Christ. So when I come to Christ, it's not, well, you just need to be who you are. No, who I was is not who I is, because who I'm going to be is not who I are. When I came to Christ, I identified with Jesus Christ. See, when I come to Christ, I don't ask Christ, well, what do you think? Well, I just want you to be happy. I just want you to be who you are. No, Christ says, I want you to be like me. I came to Christ. That's why they call me a Christian. And if I come to Christ, I'm identifying with the character of Christ. I want to be like Christ. I don't want to say, well, I just want to be who I am. No, I want to be who He is. And so I'm changing everything. If you don't want that, then say, I am not a Christian anymore. I am this, but that is not Christianity. Christianity is Christian, or little Christ. I'm no longer me. That died way back in 1982. Who I was is gone. And all I want is the identity. People keep talking about identity. My identity is Jesus Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, welcome to the new. That's who I am in Christ. I am a passionate person. My passion fuels my purpose. I look at great people in history, and God help us to have great people again. God help us to have those kind of people. You know who I'm talking about? The passionate people in the world, Thomas Paine. Think about this guy facing the greatest army that ever walked in his day, the British army. And they said, you are going to come under our rule, our reign, our taxation without representation. You colonies will do everything that we said. And they said, we got away from you because we wanted free religion. We wanted to be able to follow God without the government ruling us and reigning over us and the tyranny of the taxation of the poor. And Thomas Paine stood up and gave the great speech, give me liberty or you can give me death. But here I stand, Paracletes, I'm in. His name was Martin Luther King Jr. And in a time when they were turning hoses and dogs and hangings and lynchings and beatings, he stood arm in arm with people. He went to Washington and he stood on those steps and he said, I have a dream and I see that all men are created equal. And he got a Paracletes on because he had a passion and he was willing to die. John Paul Jones in the Battle of 1779 with the most immortal retort that Captain John Paul Jones said to a request. He was told to surrender as he and his crew engaged in a desperate battle with a British frigate off the northern coast of England during the American Revolution. And he said this to the surrender call. He said, I have not yet begun to fight. Man, that is passion. That is passionate. Can you say that? Can you say that in your life? I haven't even begun to fight. Man, the devil comes at us. He hits us with the kitchen sink. He hits us with stuff, and we go, oh, woe is me. Look at my life. Woe is me. My life is terrible. Terrible compared to what? You ought to dig in and get your Paracletes on, get that Holy Spirit, and after you've done everything to stand in your own strength, you ought to stand in His Spirit. Paracletes. Get a Paracletes on. Get the Holy Spirit in. Get your cleats down. He's going to hit you. You know what I love about passion? I tell our students, I'm going to just share it right here, right now. Some of you moved around, too. You move around in your seat. You confuse me. Yeah, I see you. Yeah, I see you over there. Right? Can't be doing stuff like that in church. But you know what gets you? You want to know passion? Here's what passion is. I'm going to give you a ministry today, and I want you to start doing this for the rest of your life. Here's what passion, I call it front row ministry. Here's what front row ministry and our student ministry is. Front row ministry, and you see kids sitting on the front row in second service. Here's why. Because I said, you show up, you sit in a front row, you have your Bible in hand, you have your notebook in hand, you have your pen in hand, you sit on the edge of your seat. You know what that says to me? Wow, sick 'em, pastor. That just tells me, man, just come on, just give me something. I'm ready to take this, and I haven't even begun to fight. You give me something good, Pastor Paracletes. I can take that. I'm going to get in the Holy Spirit. He's my cleats. He's going to help me to dig in. I love front row ministry. Front row ministry is passion. That is on fire. Now, front row ministry can happen all the way to the back doors. It's just simply having all that stuff in hand. It's sitting on the edge of your seat. It's sitting up. It's not this. I had a pastor, Ray Jackson. He helped write the DSM-3, or pastor, I'm sorry, a professor. When I was in college, before I was a Christian, I was studying psychology, and Ray Jackson, who helped write the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, I think they were at like volume 5 now, but back then it was volume 3, and he was one of the authors of that manual for psychology. And I remember him talking about experiments, and he would experiment with us in class. He said, I want you to go do this. And he was telling us one day that one of his classes took on one of his trials. They went into a class. They said, let's see if we can get our professor by the end of the day to sit on the heater by the window. You know, they had those old water heaters that would clank and clunk. So here's what they did. Every time, it was kind of like that game, hot, 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 cold, cold, cold. And so every time the professor moved towards the window in the radiator, the students would sit up alert. Front row ministry, they would sit up and they would pay attention. They'd get their pencils up. They were on the edge of their seats. They were engaging. Every time he got over near the desk, they would slouch. They would sit back, pencils down. they would daze and they would stare off into space. By the end of the class, they had the professor teaching his lecture from the heater. Why? Because there's just something about people engaging with passion. There's just something about people just on fire. You can feel that fire and it's contagious. Burn with passion. Burn with passion. It will change everything. It changes attitudes. It changes everything. Acts 4:13, Peter and John. This is after the resurrection, you know. Peter, who was, you know, denied Jesus three times. Look at what it says. They're standing before the Sanhedrin. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. What does it say? They were astonished. I'm so astonished. These guys are idiots. These guys are ordinary. They don't stand out. They're not even schooled. These guys have no education. I am astonished. And why were they astonished? Because they took notes. These guys sat down, took notes, and said, these guys have been with Jesus. I tell you, I want that said about me. People look at me and go, I can't get it. How can a guy like you, a C, D, and F student in high school, how can a guy like you possibly succeed? Because they took note, I've been with Jesus. That's where my passion comes from. I got my cleats. You got your cleats. The second one is burn with purpose. My passion gives me purpose. In this story with Nebuchadnezzar, look at verse 13. You want to see what Nebuchadnezzar's, look at those first three words. Underline those. Write those down. He is furious. Why is he furious? Because these three Hebrew boys, these three teenagers will not bow down. We live in a world that is furious with the church. We live in a world where the government doesn't know what to do with you as a Christian. We live in a world that marriage and marriage bonds, and they don't know what to do with you. We live in a world where they don't know what to do when the church rises up and says, you know what, enough's enough. Male and female. Guy's bathroom, girl's bathroom. A husband and a wife. No abortion. Oh, you guys are just, you don't understand women's rights. You don't understand gay rights. You don't understand the world we live in today. I say, you know what? I do understand the world we live in today. I understand when Hollywood starts singing. I understand when the government starts passing laws. I'm not bowing down. There's only one that I'm going to bow my knee to. And so I burn with purpose. If you don't have a purpose is your life definition. What is your life definition? Well, it says, he burned with rage. You know what my definition is? My life definition is I will do anything short of sin to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my life definition. That's my purpose. I'll do anything short of sin. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. That's right. And if you fall for everything, you don't stand for anything. Why would anyone care? Why would anyone care if I... You know, let the world be there. Why would the world care? Why would anybody be angry at me? Because I think marriage is between a man and a woman. Why would anybody be angry at me that I believe that a baby is born at conception? And I believe that is not a tissue. I believe that's a human. Why would anybody care that I believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and I believe in creation, not evolution? Why would anybody care that I'm preaching that here in my church? Why would anybody care that when they ask me my opinion, I say, this is what I think? Why would anybody care? Here's why. Because at nighttime, if somebody wants to break into your house, they want it as dark as they possibly can. Because at nighttime, if somebody wants to steal something out of your pocket, they don't want you to be aware that they're even there. We live in a world where the Bible says the world is dark, but light has come into the world. And Jesus said they hated the light because the light exposed the deeds of darkness. Do you know why people hate you? Because you are light. You know why they hated Jesus? Let me just do it this way. Is there a way we can shut all the lights off in here? Is there a way we can do that? Well, here they go. You see, when we kill all the lights, can we kill the side lights? Look at that. It's awful dark in here. I cannot see anybody's face. That's awesome. Now, in this dark right now, our ushers are collecting a second offering, and we want to say thank you. Right now, there's purses laying all over the floor. Well, there were purses laying all over the floor. And we just want to say thanks. Go ahead, boys, finish up the offering. Wait a minute. There he is. He's not going anywhere. And this flashlight, this small flashlight, burns bright because of how dark it is. The darker it is, the lighter the light. Go ahead. Turn the lights back up. Let's bring them all up. Let's put as many lights on as we possibly can. All of a sudden, now my light doesn't seem to be shining as much. It's not quite as effective. You see, the darker it is, the better my light. And we live in a world full of darkness, and my light shines. See, nobody's looking at the moon when you go outside today. You're not even looking for it because the sun's out. But you know what happens on a dark, dark night with a giant moon? People stop their cars. They get their cameras, and they're trying to take a picture of something that's, thousands of miles away. And they're going, oh. And all of a sudden there's an awe. And what is it about? Because in the darkness, we are in awe of the moon, because the moon is the reflection of the sun. And I want you to know today, if you have a purpose in your life, in the middle of the darkness, the world is going to be in awe because you are a reflection of the Son of God. That's what we want to do. We want to be that bright light shining. Dig in, folks. Dig in, and let's be a part of that. The enemy hates the light, but we need to love the light. Let me close with this. The last thing is this. We need to burn in his presence. These three Hebrew boys said this. We don't care even if God doesn't save us. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, it says, look. This is after they throw him into the fire. Look, I see. What does he see? Help me, church. What does he see in the fire? There's a fourth, right? Because here it is. If I'm going to burn with a passion, if I'm going to burn with a purpose, then I'm going to burn with his presence. Here it is. God will never let you go through the fire that he will not walk through with you. My God walks through the fire. My God saves us in the fire. So here it is. You have a choice, either burn with Jesus now or burn without Jesus later. That's the bottom line. What are you going to do? How are you going to live your life? I see four, and I love this. They were unharmed, and they were unbound. Jesus will set you free in the fire of your life. There's freedom in Christ. There's freedom in the fire. Here's my bumper sticker for the day. When you bow down to God alone, he will stand with you alone. When you bow down to God alone, he will stand with you alone. God will stand with you. Dig in. Get your cleats on. Don't allow these things to happen. Joshua 1:5-9 is our benediction. Joshua standing when no one else would go. Joshua and Caleb, the only two that said, let's take the promise. And Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, let's bring that up. It says, no one will be able to stand against you. Have that verse? Can we bring that up? Joshua 1:5? That's awesome. I'm looking up here going, don't see it. No one will be able to, what? Stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I want to be with you. Can I tell you, God wants to be with you in the same power, in the same way? He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of Moses, my servant Moses, he gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful. Listen to this, successful wherever you go. And then in verse 8 he says, do not let this book of the law depart from you. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything. And then, once you've done that, you'll be, what? Prosperous and successful. Verse 9, he finishes this out. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And here it is. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and someone's in there who looks like the son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar goes, who is that? Can I tell you who that is? That's Jesus. That's Jesus in that fire. Because whenever you're going through the fire, can I tell you, you can call on him. He will answer you. He will answer you. We just need to call on him, don't we? You just need to hear his voice this morning. Do you know that God's in heaven calling your name? Come on, keep going. Come on, keep going. He's up there, Karami. He calls you by name, and he says, he whispers, Karami. And you hear that, he just said my name. Isn't that awesome? My wife was praying. Some friends were praying during the National Day of Prayer. And then my wife got a phone call, and a lady said, I was down at the city, and we were praying, and God began to speak to me, this person said, and told a gal in our church, God is telling me I'm supposed to be praying for your youth and for Michael and Susan. And she said, you mean Mitchell and Susan? Yeah, God just told me to pray for them. What's going on? I don't know who you are. She said, that's my pastor and his wife, and our youth center just got shut down. Do you know God calls us by name? And it's okay if God calls me Michael. My parents do that all the time. God calls you by name. I went to high school with a guy, Doug Hines, and just this past week, one of the Hines girls in Ipswich, South Dakota, she's a junior in high school. Her name is Macy Hines, junior in high school. She holds 8 records in track, 2 state titles, and 8 high school records. She's a junior this year. She just went to states. Well, during the season, she found that some bones in her back had broken. She thought she was just pulled a muscle. Literally broke bones in her back. She was healing up. She wasn't sure what she was going to get to do at states. So she ran the 800 and set the state record this past week. My uncle wrote this. Macy Hines, Ipswich rock star. I mean track star. She holds 8 records, 2 state records, and 1 Howard Wood relay record. Whoa. Macy, what is your definition of full potential? You're a rock star. Because she said, my ultimate goal, this is Macy, is to reach my full potential. This is a girl that you'd say has already succeeded. She says, I have not yet begun to run my race. They put her last week in the 3,200. She holds records in the 100 meter. She holds records in the 50 meter. She holds records in the 200. She holds records in the 400. The 800, she doesn't have a record in the 3,200. Most people tell you if you run short distances, you can't run long and vice versa. She ran the 3,200. With her back just being healed, she ran the 3,200. She said to herself, if I just get third, that will be enough. And as she made her way around, she was in the 7th lap, and she was 40 meters behind. And in that last lap, 40 meters is a long ways, and she was running, and then she could hear over the intercom system at the track at States, the announcer said, Macy Hines is on the track, she's in third, and she could set yet another record. She was spent and exhausted, and she said this to the paper that I read last week. When I heard my name, that's all I needed. And I felt a burst of adrenaline into my body. And I ran as fast as I can. And I won by 5 meters, the state record for the 3,200 meter. All I needed was to hear my name over that intercom. And that inspired me. All I need is to hear my name. How come I see 4 in the fire? How come I see someone else with you? Because Jesus Christ will never leave me. And he will never forsake me. Church, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. Stand and feel the burn now. Let God burn in you. Amen? Would you stand? Let's stand together. Get a good foot. Get a good foot right now. Feel your feet standing. Look at you. You stood. This is a mannequin. He's sitting on a little plaque. If I just rock him a little bit, he could go over. He doesn't have a whole lot to stand on. He's a mannequin. God has made you strong in the Lord, and now he says, since I've made you strong, will you stand? Dig in, get your paracletes, and let's do this together. Father in heaven, we go into our world to shine a light, and we already know that there are people trying to extinguish it. We know that they tried to extinguish Jesus. We know that great saints that have gone before have been snuffed out. But God, their testimony is stronger today because of their martyrdom. Help us, Father, to go into our world. Finally, there are people who will stand. And when you've done everything, would you please stand in the Lord and in His mighty power? We go into our world to say there are rules. There is a measuring stick. The line has been drawn, and I'm going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ because I am a Christian. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.